Now, next month, the provisions for regulating prostitution and lap dancing in the Crime and Policing Act of 2009 will come into force. In England and Wales, the penalties for curb crawlers will be more severe, as will the licensing of lap dancing clubs. Up to now, they've been treated in the same way as any other social venue. Now they'll be defined as establishments selling sex. And June Kelly is the BBC's Home Affairs correspondent. June, what will be the impact on curb crawlers?
Well, on curb crawlers at the moment, Jenny, if a man is stopped and it's his first offence, he's liable to receive just a caution. But under the new legislation, he could be prosecuted that first time he's stopped and taken to court.
And what penalties will be imposed on the men?
Well, that depends, obviously, on local magistrates, but also where this new legislation very much switches the focus to the men who pay for sex, the punters, is in terms of it creates a whole new offence. Because at the moment, it's not illegal to pay for sex. But in future, there will be a new offence which will make it illegal to pay for sex with someone, and I'm going to quote the law now, who is subject to force, deception or threats. And the aim here is to protect women who are the victims of traffickers and pimps. So this is it. We're seeing an entire switch in focus.
And what if the man says, well, I didn't know she was trafficked?
That will not be a defence. It's what's called a strict liability offence. And even if he does say that, he can still be taken to court and could be fined up to £1,000.
What about the lap dancing clubs? I mean, this has been a really controversial question. A lot of parents, a lot of communities have been very concerned about the way they impact on the life in a community and certainly on what children are seeing on the streets. What will be the impact of requiring a sex establishment licence?
Well, I think there is obviously massive public concern about this. And when the then Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, launched this legislation, she said that the number of clubs had doubled since 2004 in this country. Now, at the moment, for a lap dancing club to be actually have any objections made against it, it has to be done on sort of licensing terms. But because they're going to be reclassified as sex encounter establishments, it puts them in the same category as sex shops and sex cinemas. So it would mean that if local people were objecting to a club in their area, they could object simply on the basis that it does not fit in with the local area. Although I should say here that this will be up to local authorities to implement. It's going to be up to local authorities whether they embrace this legislation, and people will only be able to object if the local authorities are on board. One would imagine local authorities will, because there's been so much public consternation about this.
Now, sex workers will still be criminalised for soliciting, but there are going to be changes in penalties. How will they change?
Well, certainly in terms of the phrase common prostitute is going, and with the sort of measures I was talking about before, the aim is to switch the emphasis away from the women. I mean, if they are arrested for soliciting, they're going to be encouraged to go through various programmes to try and keep them away from prostitution. But ministers have said to us that the whole focus now is that they want to switch it onto the men who pay for sex. I should also say, though, that some senior police officers we've spoken to have express concern about how all this is going to operate in practice. They say, yes, good news to get it all away from the women, but they say in terms of this new offence of taking somebody to court for paying for sex with somebody who's been forced into prostitution, they think this could be quite difficult in terms of getting a prosecution in the courts. And one police officer said to us, I could see this going all the way to the European Court of Human Rights, with men actually challenging whether their human rights are being threatened by all of this.
Well, June Kelly, thank you very much for explaining the detail for us. But what will be the impact of the legislation on sex workers, whether they sell their wares on the street, in a brothel or a lap dancing club? Well, Anna van Heusrik is campaign's coordinator for Object. Carrie Mitchell speaks for the English Collective of Prostitutes. How do you respond generally, Carrie, to the new legislation?
Well, as I think your correspondent highlighted, the focus really of this legislation has not been on the most serious aspects of it, the very repressive aspects, which are the focus on clients who go to women who work on the street, but first of all, women who work on the street. It's given the police additional powers now to arrest and criminalise women who work on the street. It's given the police additional powers.
They've always had those powers. I mean, what June made clear is that the emphasis is going on to the men who are buying the sex now.
Well, that's what the focus of the media has been on. But in reality, the period of time which the police can take to criminalise women on the streets has been shortened, so that the police are now able to, if a woman is working on the street, the police are able now to pick her up much more quickly.
So, Anna, it's the women who are going to suffer?
That's actually not true. It's a lot easier now for the men to pick up... I'm sorry. It's a lot easier now for the police to pick up the curb crawlers. As the correspondent said, the focus now very much is on tackling the demand for commercial sexual exploitation by deterring men and making men think twice about paying for sex in the first place. And that is really important. Where we completely, wholeheartedly agree with Carrie, and I'd say the whole of the women's movement agree with Carrie on the issue that... Nobody exploited through prostitution should be criminalised. It's completely wrong for the person who's been exploited to be penalised. And we do call for the complete decriminalisation of all those exploited in prostitution. But we also want to see an end to the exploitative industry of prostitution. So that means ensuring that there are holistic and adequate and victim-centred support services for women to actually be able to exit prostitution. And importantly, it means tackling the demand for prostitution, and that's what this legislation does.
Carrie, how much will men be put off by the threat of arrest for their first offence?
Well, the main impact will be on women, because, of course, clients
yeah, but
will
my
be,
question,
but
how,
clients
how,
will be
just,
more
just,
nervous.
Just
yes.
Tell me how much you think men will be put off.
Well, men will be put off to a degree, but men are not going to stop using the services of prostitute women. And first of all, women at this point in time, because of the really difficult situation that women face, you know, women are facing high levels of poverty. That's why women go into prostitution in the first place. That's what it's about. Anybody who is serious about dealing with the issues of prostitution has to deal with women's poverty. And what has happened is that this legislation is going to deter clients, but the impact is going to be, first of all, on women, because it's going to mean that women are going to have to work longer hours and take more risks in order to earn the money that they need. And that's going to mean, and in fact, in Scotland, where they brought in similar legislation, a tax reported by sex workers to sex work projects nearly doubled, because women were having to get into the car with men who they would previously not have done so.
But it goes underground and it puts women who are working at greater risk than they would have been before.
I think the idea that prostitution will be pushed underground is a genuine concern of a lot of people, but it actually, if you think about it, actually doesn't work in that way. If punters can find women, then so can those who are wanting to provide exit services and support services for those women. If we look at countries such as Sweden and Norway, where they have completely criminalised the purchase of sex and completely decriminalised those who are sold for sexual purposes, the women have no fear of coming forward because they're not going to be criminalised. In fact, they're going to be supported. And actually, the number of women in prostitution has decreased, with more women being helped to exit. And importantly, the European police have said that now Sweden is no longer an attractive destination for traffickers. The number of men paying for sex has decreased. And it just creates a whole shift in cultural attitudes.
One of the aims of the legislation is to protect vulnerable women, who are obviously your concern. Help them off drugs and off the streets. You cannot object to that, can you?
Absolutely not. If women want to come off the streets and want to come off drugs, then they should absolutely be helped to do that. But the fact is that is not what is happening. You know, services, money to drug services is not increasing. You know, we have women in our network who have tried to come off drugs and they have been rejected by the very services who are supposed to be helping them, and have had, you know, and have become ill as a consequence. And
but what
also
about,
left
I mean,
prostitution.
Anna,
sorry,
Anna,
can I
quote,
just finish my
just
point?
A minute. Anna quotes the Swedish example.
Yes.
Where it does seem to be clear from the research that's been done that fewer men are going to prostitutes and that it is not an attractive place for traffickers anymore. So it has worked.
No, what is happening in Sweden is that there are fewer women working visibly on the streets, and women are now working indoors. And women are having, because women can't be contacted directly by clients in the same way, it's much more difficult, women are having to rely on third parties, otherwise known as pimps, to find their clients. And clients are very nervous. Women are saying that it's very much more difficult now to determine, you know, when a client comes to them, whether they're nervous because they're just nervous because they're afraid that the police might be coming in at any moment, or they're nervous because they're just not a good client. You know, there's a client who they should not be seeing. So it's much more difficult now for women to assess clients. But prostitution in Sweden has not stopped. Prostitution in Sweden has moved from the streets. And women on the streets who still work on the streets say they are having to see clients now who they would previously not have seen.
Anna,
they would have told to go away. It's very
seems
serious.
From
and attacks
Carrie's experience that it is less safe.
This is a multi-billion pound industry. Pimps are businessmen. They go to countries where they're going to be able to make more money in the sex trade, in trading women for sexual use. They go to countries like the Netherlands, Germany, and now New Zealand, Victoria and Australia, where they have legalised brothels or completely decriminalised prostitution. What they have found is that it's actually expanded the industry, which then draws in more vulnerable women and children into the industry. So, for example, in New Zealand, we now have that 80% of the industry is actually illegal, that the illegal sector has grown at a far greater rate, and that those women who are marginalised in the society are actually more likely to be coerced into prostitution. It makes logical sense that if the demand increases, they then need more women to meet that demand.
What would have been your response had the British government opted for legalisation like they've done in New Zealand?
No, New Zealand, they have not legalised. I'm sorry.
They've legalised Brussels and decriminalised soliciting.
They've decriminalised prostitution. Nearly 7 years ago, they decriminalised prostitution.
And legalised brothels.
No. They removed prostitution, you know, selling sex from the criminal law. Women are now able to work, up to four women can work together from premises without requiring any kind of a special licence. And this means that the bigger brothel owners have to keep their standards up, because women who work in, you know, indoors, who want to work indoors more safely, those are the people who run the bigger brothels know that women have a choice. That if, you know, women can say, if I don't like your working conditions, I can go and work in another way independently. And that is how most women work. Most sex workers, stop, let me just finish. Most sex workers are mothers, mainly single mothers, trying to support families. And while this legislation was going through that you were promoting, welfare reform was going through, which has abolished income support, which is the money which mothers and other carers have at some recognition of the work of caring. And so women are going to be driven, more women are going to be driven into prostitution. What are you going to say to poor women who have, you know, have lost a job, or their husbands
like
have lost a job?
That.
Go on, Anna, answer that.
Okay, because, yes, of course, prostitution has a huge class dimension, that poverty is one of the biggest triggers into prostitution, poverty and marginalisation.
So why do you go for
as
clients?
Well as,
why not go for the poverty?
Because that's exactly why. We need to be tackling the poverty, and we need to be tackling the industry, which is
but
a completely
exploitative industry. But you're not. I didn't hear you say anything about welfare reform. I haven't heard you say anything about the politicians who are so corrupt, who you've been backing, who are selling themselves for £3,000 a day.
Can I respond? Whilst we do live in a society in which inequality is huge, and inequality, oppression, poverty are huge problems, there are always going to be vulnerable women and children who will be drawn into this exploitative industry unless we can actually end the industry of prostitution. We're talking about an industry in which if you are drawn into, coerced into prostitution, you're far more likely to die a violent death. You're far more likely to be physically, sexually abused than not. This
and
is
there,
a really horrific
industry. And there we must end. Anna van Heeswijk and Carrie Mitchell, I'm sure this discussion will go on and on. Thank you both for being with us. Now, I'm sure you've seen the trailers for BBC Two's two-part serial, which begins on Monday, Blood and Oil. It's the story of two women who are brought together in Nigeria by the corruption surrounding the oil industry in the Niger Delta, the wealth that's produced there, and the poverty of the people. Jodie May plays the wife of an oil worker who has been kidnapped. Naomi Harris is a PR agent who goes to smooth over the crisis on the part of the